अंग्रे गायसी पम जादुनाम आधिपतिम आग्रहानम अग्रतो ना पुराणम विजय साका सकीनाम गियतम तद प्रसंगा शफीत कुचारुरस्थे कल्पयान तिष्ठम ईश O be, why do you sing here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are old news to us. Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire in whose breast he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. Purport. With the words, Agrihanam Agrato Naha, Radharani laments that even though she and the other gopis gave up their homes to love Krishna in a conjugal relationship, the Lord left them and became a prince in the great royal city of the Yadus. Besides meaning Arjuna the victor, the word Vijaya also directly indicates Sri Krishna, who is always victorious in his endeavors. And besides meaning old news, the word Puranam also indicates that Sri Krishna is glorified in the ancient Vedic scriptures of that name. In this verse, we observe Radharani's mood, the seed of jealous anger, which arises from an apparent disdain for Krishna, accompanied by a sarcastic sidelong glance directed toward him. Thus, this verse fits the following description of Vijalpa from the Ujjvala Nilamani. Vyaktayas Suyaya Budha Mana Mudran Taralaya Agadvishi Katakshotir Vijalpam Vidhusam Mataha. According to learned authorities, Vijalpa is sarcastic speech that is addressed to the killer of the Aga demon and that openly expresses jealousy while at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. Translation, O be, why do you sing here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are old news to us. Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire in whose breasts he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. Shukadev Goswami is here continuing the most sublime narration of the dialogue between Sri Radharani and the bumblebee. In particular, this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the most exalted and highest realm of divine thought in all of the Vedic literatures. In various Puranas, Padma Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and so on, there are many descriptions of the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. including pastimes between Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But Srimad Bhagavatam, in the five verses describing the Ras Lila, and in this particular chapter where Sri Radharani is expressing the nature of her heart in her love for Krishna, there is information about the exalted qualities of Radha's love that is unfound in any other of the literatures written by Vyasadeva. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the Paramhamsa Samhita. It is called the crest jewel, the essence, the only of the Vedas that truly reveals the Madhurya Ras of Vrindavan and the exalted supreme quality of the love of Sri Radharani. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared especially singing the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam because he was the personal manifestation of the Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma gyani dibi saha kalona shtadri shamesha purana kodinodidaha. After Lord Sri Krishna left this world, Kali Yuga entered. And with Kali Yuga there was great darkness. But Krishna appeared again in this age of Kali in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to give pure spiritual light and direction to all living beings. Srimad Bhagavatam is the last word, the ultimate paramount of the realizations of Sri Vyasadeva, the author of all Vedas. While residing at Badrikashram, feeling dissatisfied, even after having compiled the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, the 108 Upanishads, the Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, the Puranas, the Itihastas, and even the Brahma Sutra. At that time, Sri Narada Muni appeared and told him that you have not yet revealed the unadulterated, unmotivated, pure devotion toward Krishna. All of the other Puranas, all of the other Vedic literatures are mixed with Artha, Kama, Dhamma, Moksha. Now you must write that literature that deals only with uninterrupted loving service to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam describes so many glorious pure devotees who surrendered everything to Sri Krishna. Describes Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami. Describes the Pandavas. Describes the various incarnations of the Lord, such as Varaha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Vamana Dev, Parasuram, Ramchandra, Kurma Dev. All the 10 avatars are described in this great work. It describes the glory of the pure devotion of such souls as Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Prachini Barhishat, in his pure surrender, the Parachetas. It describes the pure unalloyed devotion of the supreme toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such great souls as Indra, Brahma, and Shiva in their mood of total surrender. But it culminates in explaining in the most intimate detail of any literature, the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, the love of Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, the love of the Gopas, Sridhama, Subala, Stoka Krishna, Arjuna, and ultimately the love of the gopis. And even beyond that, in this chapter it is describing, like nowhere else in any literature, the love of Sri Radharani. In the highest ecstasy of her own love, in separation, after Lord Sri Krishna had left Vrindavan Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this Sri Radharani, who in the same mood of separation that Sri Radhika is experiencing while talking to this bee in her madness, he appeared in this world. Krishna wanted to experience the ecstasy of the love of Sri Radha. Uddhava returned to Mathura and explained to Krishna that I was considering myself the best devotee because you're with me more than anyone. But the love of the Brijvasis, the gopis, and this Sri Radharani, this love is incomprehensible to me. It is way beyond my power to even attempt to understand. Krishna himself wanted to experience this love. Even in his supreme glory as the personality of Godhead and the knower of past, present, and future, he could not comprehend himself the depths of the love of Sri Radhika. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared for these three reasons: to experience the love of Srimati Radharani, to understand what it was about himself that was attracting her to such a degree, and also to taste the bliss and the sweetness that she derives in her love for him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this sense, is the incarnation of the Lord who is demonstrating by his own personal life the essence of the highest teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But so wonderful it is that not only is he demonstrating it and experiencing it, but he is distributing it to everyone who will simply open their hearts, open their minds to receive it. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Namo Mahabharunyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Tveshe Namaha. That you are the most merciful and the most magnanimous of all incarnations. There is no incarnation that can compare to you. Lord Ram was so merciful by placing his lotus foot on the rock. He delivered Ahalya and gave her love of God. By his kindness, even the lowly Nishada Guha, he granted him his personal association and allowed him to be one of his most intimate associates by giving him supreme love of God. In this way, through so many wonderful pastimes, the Lord Sri Ramchandra bestowed his mercy and love upon all living beings. And Krishna avatar, how he revealed the highest, most secret pastimes of the spiritual world. And even such a demon like Putana, he gave her the love of his own mother in the spiritual world simply because she had some sentiment as a mother toward him. And even Shishupal, who was so envious, he liberated. What to speak of the beautiful pastimes he revealed to all of us, of Braj Leela. But Rupa Goswami is explaining that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is far more merciful and magnanimous than even these great avatars. Why? Because he is delivering through the simple process of Hari Kirtan entrance into the divine loving service of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are practically not understandable to anyone but a Paramahamsa. So many people are talking about Radhe, 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 and Radhe Shyam. And so many people go to Vrindavan and they watch so many dramas and they hear so many stories and they sing so many intimate kirtans about the pastimes of Radha Krishna. But really, it is mostly sentiment. How can we really understand such pure, pristine conjugal affairs without blemishing it by our own material desires? In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned Jagadananda Pandit that when you go to Vrindavan, stay under the care of Sanatana Goswami and don't stay there very long, because this place is very, very advanced and you will commit offenses. You will commit offenses if you're there trying to understand Vrindavan with your own mind and senses. You must have the shelter and the direction of such a guide as Sanatana Goswami. And you will also misunderstand so many things and commit offenses. So better you don't even stay there very long. This was his instruction. And Jagadananda Pandit was such an exalted Paramhamsa devotee of the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of the pastimes of the most intimate conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna are contained within him. And he is giving them freely to the world, but in the form of a sannyasi, very, very strictly following all the rules and regulations. You see, Radha Krishna, they did not care so much to follow any rules and regulations. But in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not only following the rules and regulations of morality, but of the highest level of sannyas. And yet, by simply worshiping him through the process of Hari Kirtan, we are directly engaging in the intimate loving service of Radha Krishna, because he is Radha Krishna. That is why the Bhagavatam says, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparashadam Jagyai Sankirtana Priyaya Jantehi Sumedashaha. That those who are really of good intelligence, Sumedashaha, they will worship this beautiful golden form of the Lord, Krishna. How? He has appeared with many associates, and he is inviting us all to join the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya, he is worshipped through the congregational chanting of the Holy Name. And in the congregational chanting of the Holy Name, our heart is gradually cleansed. And by receiving the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by pleasing him, by simply remaining in the satsang of his devotees and engaging in the process of Hari Kirtan, then he, in his mood of Sri Radharani,
directly elevates us into her loving service. No other incarnation has given such a gift so freely as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were most perfectly revealed by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. After Mahaprabhu had left this world, he only left 8 verses in his own writing, Shikshastakam, which is the essence of all transcendental knowledge, which gradually, progressively brings the aspiring bhakta from the initial stage of Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, of cleansing all of the impurities and anartas from the heart, extinguishing the blazing fire of material suffering, birth and death. He begins by explaining, just chant Harinam and do like this. And then he explains to us how to chant the holy name, the power of the name, that God is in all of his names, and we must feel so humble, like a blade of grass. We must not aspire for wealth, women, prestige, even liberation. We should simply aspire with such humility for the most exalted position of just a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Govinda. And we should be praying and longing for incessant tears to flow from our eyes and our voices to choke up the recitation of Krishna's name. We should understand that the Shikshastakam verses are developing into higher and higher stages of Krishna consciousness. And after that, we should see this whole world as a big, dreary void without Govinda. And ultimately come to the level of the highest, purest, unmoted love of the gopis, that Krishna, you can do anything you want with me. You can make me brokenhearted by not presently coming before me. You can embrace me. You can trample on me. I am your eternal servant unconditionally. But to understand these 8 verses, which are so sublime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this mission to the 6 Goswamis headed by Rupa and Sanatan. While living in Vrindavan, they wrote so many wonderful, wonderful books. Some for the beginning neophyte devotee and gradually evolving to the highest levels of prema bhakti. Upadesamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. How wonderfully they explained the supreme position of Krishna Bhakti. And then Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami, they revealed the highest ecstasies of love of God as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving to the world. Lalita Madhava, Vidagda Madhava, Ujvala Nilamani. And then Srila Jiva Goswami very, very categorically, authoritatively established the highest philosophical truths to the pure and sublime teachings of Rupa and Sanatana. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, he explained in his writings the total and utter humility of one who is serving in the highest levels of Braj Bhava, Prayaujana Guru. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he took all of these great, great realizations and writings and produced Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to be the supreme most importance. It explains the life and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such authority and with such thorough explanation. Describes the birth of Mahaprabhu, his childhood lila, his taking of sannyas, his traveling throughout all of South India, converting everyone. It describes his conversations. It describes his visit to Vrindavan, his defeating of the Mayavads in Varanasi, his many years celebrating Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri, and ultimately his Antya Leela, where he completely immersed himself in the highest ecstasies of Braj Bhava in the Gambira, the house of Kashi Mishra in Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. And his teachings have never been so succinctly and purely presented to the world as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The dialogue between Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which took place in Jagannath Puri, in the Jagannath Temple. His dialogue between Prakashananda Saraswati, which took place in Varanasi. The supremest dialogue that took place between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai in Vidyanagar on the banks of the river Godavari. His instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami, Raghupati Upadhyaya, and Ballabha Bhatt were also present at that time. At the Dashashwamedha Ghat in Prayag. His beautiful instructions to Srila Sanatan Goswami, which took place in Varanasi. We understand that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of the highest of all Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the gift of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu? What is the gift of those great and fortunate souls who are living in this world on behalf of the Lord? The gift is entrance into the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. In this verse that we are reading today, Srimati Radhika Rani is talking with this little bee. You see, in such an intoxicated state of love of God, devotee just wants to express that love with any opportunity possible. Such a burning in her heart, she could not contain it. Out of respect, she didn't want to chastise Uddhava, because Uddhava was directly coming as a messenger of Lord Krishna. That was obvious. And her transcendental state of jealous anger, she couldn't contain herself but chastising Krishna. And we know, even in our neophyte position, that whatever we want to offer Krishna, we offer to his representative. So she also wanted to chastise this representative of Krishna. But because he had a very respectable and exalted position, it would have been very inappropriate for her to chastise Uddhava as an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. And why don't you go begging somewhere else? So she was containing it, but she could not contain it. Her divine, supreme spiritual emotions of love were of such a degree that she wanted to speak her heart. So right in front of Uddhava, she began to chastise this bumblebee as the servant and messenger of Krishna. In this way, without committing any offense to Uddhava, she enabled him to see the quality of her love. And Uddhava was so struck with wonder. He was thinking that Yashoda and Nanda, I have never seen such ecstatic, intensive concentration, contemplation, and prema for Krishna as them. But when Srimati Radhikarani began to talk to this bee, almost like she was crazy, mad, and insane in divine love, then Uddhava realized that this I cannot understand. I can only hope to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that she may someday step on my head. This is my understanding of her love. And here she's explaining that, why have you come here? Why do you sing so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? Such a beautiful example. She is describing that all of the gopis are homeless. Of course, they're all living in their homes on a physical level. They still have the cows. They still have their husbands. They still have everything in Vrindavan except Krishna. Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahena me. She is expressing this mood that Mahaprabhu explained, that, my Lord, I see nothing in this world without you. Homeless in the sense that Krishna, the thought of Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna, the presence of Krishna was actually their only real home. Without Krishna, they felt homeless. All of the stock of the wealth, of their love, of their affection, of their everything was residing in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna was truly their home. And when Krishna left, he left them homeless. We should know that this is what it means to go back home, back to Godhead. That a devotee should feel no home in this world. Wife, family, sons, daughters, wealth, business. We like to make ourselves comfortable. We like to make ourselves feel at home with all of these things. But we cannot reach Krishna as long as we are content thinking that this is my home. How can we go back home, back to Godhead, if we're under the illusion that we're already at home? Before we can even aspire with real quality of consciousness to go back home, back to Godhead. Godhead means Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati specifically didn't use the word God, but Godhead.
Because the Christians, they speak of God, and the Muslims speak of God. And the Pure Land Buddhists also speak of a God. And the worshippers of demigods also speak of gods. And the various worshippers of Vishnu also speak of God. But Godhead specifically refers to Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, the summum bonum, the essence of all avatars. Back home, back to Godhead. That means our only home is Krishna. And this world is a place which is like being lost in a dense, dark forest. There's no home here. There's no real home comfort in a place where birth and death can come at any moment. One earthquake can come, and where is our family? Where is our nice house? Where is our business? Where is our very life? This is not our home. This is like a place that a traveler may stop to get a little rest. But if you, through 8,400,000 species, the soul has been traveling upward to Krishna through the lower species of the aquatics and the vegetation, inanimate objects, up through the insects, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, through so many various uncivilized human conditions, the soul is progressing toward Krishna. It's on a journey. It's traveling. And the particular life that we have now is specifically and exclusively for the purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. It's a journey. And we may stop to rest. But if we're content at that rest area, we don't go any further. In America, they have highways. Nice, not like the highways in India. There's no buffaloes, there's no cows, there's no rickshaws, there's no ladies running across the road. No chickens or hogs. Just the road. You never have to stop. The only time you ever have to stop is to get some fuel, and that's called a rest area, where you stop to get some fuel. Anyways, if you stay at the rest area, you're crazy. You don't get anywhere. If we're content with any of the situations, any of the comforts, any of the illusions of home in this world, we can make no progress. We must be feeling ourselves like strangers in a foreign land. That Krishna, without your intimate love, without your divine presence in my life, this whole world is a dreary void. I am homeless. We must aspire to develop this determined conviction in our Krishna consciousness. Because in fact, mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are all part of Krishna. We are all inseparable, eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is our source, and Krishna is our ultimate destination. In reality and truth, Krishna is our only home. But Maya is trying to keep us away from Krishna by the illusion that you have a home here in this material world. And there are so many ways that she tries to divert our attention.
you'll give us some nice furniture and a nice house and a nice stereo system and a beautiful wife or a handsome, affectionate husband. And she'll say, now you're at home. Isn't it nice? And you say, yes, very nice. But a devotee cannot think like that. He must think, I will use all these things for Krishna because my goal is to return back home, back to Godhood. If I see any of these things separate from Krishna, then I'm an illusion, and my spiritual progress is impeded. Everything is for Krishna. I may have my nice home and my nice furniture and my nice wife and everything else, but it is all an illusion. It is all ultimately meant for birth and death. It is all Maya's trap to divert my attention away from the supreme goal of going back home. She's coming to cheat me. She's going to get me so addicted to this home, and then at the least expected moment, she's going to kick me out and leave me stranded. So I do not trust her. I've already read about her tricks. I've seen it too many times. Together we will use this home, our family, we will all work together progressively with no satisfaction other than devotional service to Krishna. That is Grihastha Ashram. And for those who can do it, they just live like penniless beggars sleeping on the floor as brahmacharis or sannyasis, with absolutely nothing and no one else in this world except our service to Krishna and our God brothers who are helping us to become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to God. So Grihastha, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Vanaprast, make no home in this world. The fact is we are all homeless creatures because the soul is not content with any material situation. The comfort of home for the soul is only in loving devotion to Lord Krishna. Radharani, bereft of the divine presence of Krishna, is calling her and all of her other gopi friends homeless. And we should know that the lamentation, the jealousy, the anger of Sri Radharani explaining to the bee is so transcendental and sublime. It is all ultimately meant for the pleasure of Krishna. She's behaving this way just to intensely let Krishna know how much she loves him and how much she cannot bear separation from him. She's speaking in this way for Krishna's pleasure. And she is here explaining that, oh, B, why don't you go and sing the glories of the Lord in front of his new girlfriends? Why are you disturbing us? We are bereft of everything without Krishna. We've been singing his glories 24 hours a day, every day. So to us, for you to sing, it's old news. Please don't bother us with this old news of Krishna's glories. Why don't you go to his new girlfriends in Mathura? They will be very happy to hear from you. And they will surely give you wonderful charity. We have nothing to give you. All we have is broken hearts. This is the mood of Sri Radharani. This is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And ultimately, she's speaking to the bee, and everything she's speaking to the bee She's under the bhava that the bee will go and speak all of these messages to Krishna on her behalf.
This is such a wonderful
gift that Vedavyas has given us to see the beauty.
Something that is so unattainable by any other means than the grace of Sri Guru and Gauranga. By hearing these wonderful pastimes, we should be inspired with total conviction and faith to always remain the servant of the servant of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to qualify ourselves for entrance into these divine realizations through the method that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us: Vaishnava Seva and Hari Kirtan, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
As you said, that if you want to really want to go back to Godhead, this all life, children's house, everything, you just have to be completely detached. And not only there is a hope of going back to Godhead. And grastha, vanprastha, brahmachari, everybody is homeless. Basically, our home is only back to Godhead. Now, specifically for those grasthas, those who are staying outside the temple and staying in the house with the wife, now it so happens that, I think it's my own experience, is that you are staying with your wife for at least, you will be staying for at least 15, 20 years. Now in that 50-20 years, you are away from the association of those renounced order people. Now on one side, you are staying with, because all this material conditioning is there, definitely there in your heart from last so many births as such, and you are staying with an opposite sex. Now to keep that consciousness completely intact, that my aim is just to go back to Godhead, and this is all, so to say, Maya, I just have to think that as a service to Krishna rather than anything else. But the thing is, because we are away from the renounced order people, second thing is, around all our neighbors and all these people, these TVs, videos, everything going on, neighbors are completely engrossed in sense gratification, and we have to stay with them. In addition to that, all the social relationships and all of them, you just have to be engaged with them, going to some birthday parties or this and that, just to keep it up, being our grasta life. These all things are so distraction from our spiritual life. Now in that situation, we have to stay 15-20 years. Now, don't you think so, that the complete determination is becoming loosened enough by staying in grasta life and having that same determination of going back to Godhead? So how to see that being in grasta life for 15-20 years, but that determination of going back to Godhead, this is all this Maya, doesn't loosen up at any cost, and we have only one aim and one goal of going back to Godhead?
Without regularly associating with sadhus, it is not possible. In the example of Thakura Bhakti Vinod, we find the absolute most perfect example of how one can perfect one's life and render the highest service to the Lord in the Grihastha Ashram. So we find that Bhakti Vinod, if you read his songs, his beautiful poems, his books, all of the instructions is contained. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was always singing about his great aspiration, his longing to be with the Vaishnavas. And in his own life, he was so much always serving great sadhus, always seeking the association of such great sadhus. This is the most important factor in Grihastha Ashram.
we must humbly, submissively seek the association of those persons who are truly in the renounced order of life and who are constantly immersed in surrendering to the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his glories. And if we regularly associate with such great sadhus, then that burning desire to return back home, back to Godhead, will grow and grow more and more, even in the Grihastha Ashram. But if we associate intimately with all of these mundane social affairs, that will definitely, without doubt, bewilder our consciousness from the true goal of Krishna consciousness. So we must very carefully follow the principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we should associate with sincere and surrendered devotees of the Lord, and we should avoid the association of those who are not devotees and those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment. It was asked by the residents of Kulinagram that we are grihasthas, how can we become Krishna conscious? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them this explanation. This is the explanation he gave for all grihasthas. He said, you can become Krishna conscious as a grihastha. They asked him twice, and he gave him two messages. One is, he said, you always associate with devotees, and you avoid the association of non-devotees, and you always chant the name of Krishna.
But I have seen it that because you associate more with the renounced order people every day, directly, and you are in intimate touch with it, so after some time of time, because you are very intimate with all those renounced order people, you don't take that association so sincerely or so strictly, and that type of attachment is somewhat loosener, and that is very disturbing about Krishna consciousness. So how to see that doesn't happen?
You have to serve them. Don't just socialize with them alone, because then the danger is to take it to be something ordinary. Serve them. Hari Prashnena Sevaya. Hear from them submissively, inquire from them, and try to render service to them in any way you can. That will make this satsang or association respectable in your heart. It will give you a realization and an understanding of the precious gift. Without regularly humbly serving the sadhus, Krishna will take that association away by bewildering your consciousness. Because it's such a rare gift, we must reciprocate by service. Not that we come to enjoy the association, but we come to offer seva in that association.
Sometimes Maya's trap is so high that we have a full faith in the renounced order people. We feel that these are our life and soul, we have to just associate with them. But sometimes what happens is something goes wrong in the movement or something or the other, some goes wrong. And these renounced order people, they don't have that type of a faith and trust in the spiritual master or in the higher authorities. And they go run away from the movement altogether. Then if we are so disturbed, we feel like that these are the people to whom I have a faith and trust and I have to spend my whole life, and they don't have that type of a, so to say, intimacy for the movement or for the spiritual master.
If you are sincere, Krishna will protect your faith. Because we are not, our faith is not in any particular person. Our faith is in the principle, the eternal principle that is being represented by that particular person. The principle that we are respecting is the principle of total surrender to Krishna. And if we see that in someone, we will love and respect and be inspired by that principle coming through him. And we'll reciprocate in a very personal way with that person who is embodying surrendering to Krishna. But if we find that someone is no longer representing that principle of total surrender to Krishna, then we simply should know that if we're sincere, that Krishna will reveal that same essence through someone else. Our movement is based on personality. It is a personal movement. But we have to understand that what is the essence within that person that we are inspired by and surrendering to. And we will always find that essence by Krishna's grace, either in one person or another. But as long as a person is representing that, we should remain very, very faithful, loyal, and loving in the service of such a soul who's helping us in our Krishna consciousness. We should feel indebted and grateful. And we must show our gratitude by humility and service. Thank you very much.